Speedway Report is produced and broadcast by the Zeus Radio Network for Racers Reunion Radio. The hot, hot Indianapolis weekend has come and gone with one driver leading most of the laps. The World of Outlaws duel with the Pennsylvania Posse, Lucas Oil Raceway holds some good short track racing and leave many wanting more. All this and more. Welcome to Speedway Report for Monday, July 25th, 2016, from the shores of Lake Norman in Race City, USA, Mooresville, North Carolina. I'm Patrick Reynolds, and thank you for joining us tonight. From the North Myrtle Beach ZRN Studios, producer Jeff Gilder is with us. It has been so hot here in the South that anything below 95 degrees is considered chilly. How are you, Daddy J?
Chilling, man. I'm chilling. Everything is just fine and dandy here in the always gorgeous, always beautiful, sometimes hot, but there's always a breeze, sunny North Myrtle Beach, South Carolina.
You on the payroll for the Chamber of Commerce down there at the beach? What's going on?
As a matter of fact, they stopped by today. Yeah, they did. Yeah.
You tell them I said hi, right?
I did.
Right, yeah. Right. Good, yeah. Good. We want to be on
I told them stuff. I was still giving a good report, man.
Yeah, whether they asked for it or not. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, I got something real good news to help you beat the heat today, kind of put you in a cool mood.
Cool.
Yeah. 5 months from today will be Christmas Day.
5 months from today.
That's right. 5 months from today, we'll be sitting around the tree, opening up presents, and enjoying a hot toddy.
Wow. You just made my night, Patrick.
Yeah. We'll be missing this warm summer weather with the beach and the waves and the sun and the surf and all that good stuff. But 5 months from today will be Christmas Day. How about that, huh?
Yeah, how about that? It's funny.
You excited?
Oh, no? Yeah, man. Yeah.
Christmas Story Marathon and Christmas Vacation, all that good stuff.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Cool. All right.
Yeah, that's all I have to help keep you cool. Other than that, crank your air conditioning up and raise the electric bill.
Yeah, just hope it hangs in there, right?
Yeah, I think we've got our fingers crossed on a lot of electronics tonight that they just kind of hang in there, including your air conditioning.
Such right? is the life of electronics. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, the radio hosts and studio world, everybody thinks it's a glamour party and all that, but not really. We got a lot of stuff going on.
Sometimes you twist the knob and nothing happens. And
sometimes it happens and we have no idea why, but ours is not the question. We just keep rolling.
We just keep doing it, man.
Yeah. You know something about the opening, the show there? I miss Mario.
Yeah, I can. We'll get Mario back.
Okay.
We will in due time, yeah.
And I'm not talking Super... Well, we are talking Super Mario.
Yeah, Super Mario Andretti. Yeah,
Mario Andretti is a good soundbite there. Yeah, if we could, you know, I miss the soundbites there of all those guys. We can mix them up a little bit, but yeah, you got to keep Mario in there.
Yeah, we'll get him back.
Yeah, that was good. Well, yeah, that's missing. We got to get that back. I kind of like that. I kind of miss Mario a little bit. I was thinking about him today because we do have an IndyCar-themed show this evening. Brickyard 400 at Indianapolis over the weekend. No, not Indy Cars, but the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and we'll have that theme tonight with our guest, who we'll get to shortly. Jeff, I want to thank you for pushing the buttons, literally, and bringing us to life. Big, big thanks, more than you know. And I want to say thank you to all of you that tuned in tonight and are joining us online. If you are interested in bench racing, yeah, little chat rooms. We got two of them coming in, racersreunion.com. We've got a stock car site and a drag racing site. And just sign in either one or do like I do and Jeff does. We kind of sign into both and tease people. I hop on over to our stock car site and Billy Bisco is there. Carl is with us along with Danny Whitener, Larry, Jerry Smith still hanging with us, Stan Hardcastle, and the legend is with us, Tim Leeming. I think Danny's picking on me in the chat room, and of all people, the legend is defending me a little bit there. That's kind of cool. Barb and Tom Laughlin are over in the drag racing room, and they're gearing up for Racing and Rocking with Draglist.com coming up at the top of the hour. And likely our good friend Leo is listening down in Brazil. He spends a lot of time with Racers Reunion Radio, loves us. We love our friends in South America. Thank you all for tuning in. And then if you want to go bench racing and fight with these guys during the show, share your opinion, just head to racersreunion.com. Well, wherever you are listening, coast to coast around the World Wide Web, glad all of you are on board. On the West Coast, your last hour of the workday, head down in the cubicle, earbuds in with Speedway Report. If you're toughing out the heat in the Midwest or on the East Coast, Well, you finish dinner, kick back. Of course, you're listening to Internet Radio and Bench Racing. Coming up tonight on Speedway Report are your phone calls about what? About anything in the world of racing. We will open them up a little bit later in the show. Got a pre-packed first part and first segment of the show. You can write the number down now and use it later. I'll let you know when the phone lines are open. 843-272-1900 are the magic digits. You get to talk to me about, well, whatever's on your mind about the world of auto racing. And as always, a reminder, like our Facebook page, Speedway Report with Patrick Reynolds. Follow me on Twitter. My handle is Speedway Pat. And coming up as our special guest tonight is Christian Aliso. Christian is a young up-and-coming midget driver with an eye on the Mazda Road to Indy, the USF 2000 Series, and eventually the Indianapolis 500. Christian Aliso is coming up in a little bit. So you can give us a call a little bit later if you want to talk about the Indianapolis crowd or lack thereof, the racing at Lucas Oil Raceway, or the racing that should have been at Lucas Oil Raceway. How do we get NASCAR back there? Or maybe you went to the track over the weekend. Whatever's on your mind, I will let you know when the phone lines are open. You can give us a call a little bit later in the show. Right now, we'll hit up our Speedway Report Victory Lane Lap, give you all the results from this busy and hot summertime weekend. The Sprint Cup cars were in Indianapolis yesterday for the Brickyard 400. Kyle Busch led 149 of the eventual 170 laps run in an overwhelming drive that pummeled the rest of the field. In the final two-lap shootout, Busch pulled to over 2 seconds ahead of second-place Matt Kenseth. Jimmy Johnson, Denny Hamlin, and Kyle Larson completed the top five. The Xfinity Series was at Indy on Saturday. Busch led all 20 laps in his heat. In 62 of the 63 laps in the feature, he pretty much had his way with Indy over the weekend. In this one, Kevin Harvick was second over Paul Menard, Larson, and Justin Allgaier. Last Wednesday, the NASCAR trucks were at the Eldora Speedway in Rossburg, Ohio, where Kyle Larson came from a lap down with a very fast truck to win the 150. Second through fifth were Christopher Bell, Rico Abreu, Jake Griffin in an impressive run, and Tyler Reddick. The NASCAR Whelen Modified Tour was up in Monadnock, New Hampshire. Scheduled for Saturday night, they were rained out and postponed to Sunday afternoon. Timmy Salamito made the wait worth his while as he led all 200 laps. Rowan Penick was second ahead of Jimmy Blewett, Eric Goodale, and Justin Bonsignor. Points leader Doug Coby was sixth. Open wheel friends across the pond. The Formula One machines were at the Hungaroring in Hungary. Lewis Hamilton took the checkered flag and, more importantly, jumped to the world championship lead for the first time this year. Mercedes teammate Nico Rosberg was second and falls to second in the title fight. Daniel Ricciardo's Red Bull car challenged early, but finished over 25 seconds back in third. Sebastian Vettel was a close fourth in a Ferrari with Max Verstappen in fifth. The IMSA cars were up at Lime Rock Park in my home state in Connecticut. The prototype challenge was won by Alex Papau and Renger van der Zende, co-driving the winning Starworks ride, and GT Le Mans was won by Tommy Milner and Oliver Gavin in a Corvette. NHRA was battling the air pressure at Mile High Nationals in Denver, Colorado. In top fuel, the Sarge, Tony Schumacher, beat Antron Brown. In funny car, John Force defeated his daughter, Courtney, in the final round. John has now won in 29 different seasons. Can you say Hall of Fame? You should be able to. In pro stock, Alan Johnson outran Vincent Nobile. In pro stock motorcycle, Andrew Hines beat Eddie Krawick. The Lucas Oil 8 models rolled through Greenwood, Nebraska for the Silver Dollar Nationals, and $40,000 for the winner was won by Jonathan Davenport over Billy Moyer, Brandon Shepard, Tim McCready, and Earl Pearson Jr. The World of Outlaw Sprints took on the Pennsylvania Posse up at Williams Grove with the Summer Nationals on Friday night, which was night number one. Darren Pittman outran Pennsylvania Posse drivers Lance DeWeese and Greg Hodnett. Stevie Smith was fourth and Donnie Schatz fifth. On Saturday night, DeWeese upholds the Posse honors with the $25,000 A-Main win. Second through fifth were Pittman, Smith, David Gravel, and Donnie Schatz. The ARCA cars ran last Friday night at the Lucas Oil Raceway just outside of Indianapolis. Chase Briscoe won the 200 lapper ahead of Travis Miller, Myatt Snyder, Josh Williams, and Chad Finley. There was a doubleheader at Lucas Oil Raceway because they kicked off the week last Thursday with the USAC Silver Crown cars with the Rich Vogler Hall of Fame Classic. Cody Swanson won the 100 lapper over brother Tanner Swanson. Jerry Coons Jr. was third, Bobby Santos fourth, and Chris Windham rounded out the top five. In local action in Grandview, Pennsylvania, veteran Frank Cozy won the small block modified race. Brian Seiss won the late models, and Mike Lisowski won the sportsman rain. And in Bowman Gray Stadium, the Madhouse, real close to us in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, Burt Byers was the modified feature winner. I want to talk a little bit, I want to talk a bunch of stuff tonight. We'll get in. Let's start right here. I mentioned that results the other night, Thursday night, for the USAC Silver Crown cars as they made their way with 100 laps around Lucas Oil Raceway. Good racing there. I saw those cars race there in May a couple nights before the Indianapolis 500. Big hat tip has to go for some USAC legends as they had their Hall of Fame induction ceremony at the Speedway prior to the feature race. Small group of guys, well-respected names in the world of open-wheel racing in the Midwest, were inducted into the Hall of Fame. This year's class, let's roll them. Steve Butler, Russ Klendenman, Jimmy Davis, Willie Davis, Bob Higman, Tommy Hinterschitz, Dick King, Rick Mears, Pat O'Connor, Kevin Olson, Tony Stewart, and Bob Tattersall, all inducted into the USAC Hall of Fame last Thursday at Lucas Oil Raceway Park. Tommy Hinterschitz is a name that jumps off the page for one of the reasons different guys do for different things, bring back different memories to me. But we've had Ernie Saxton on this show before, and Hinterschitz was Saxton's favorite race car driver growing up. Saxton has been riding for decades out of Pennsylvania. Was on the PA at the Grandview Speedway for so many years. Still does a lot of PR and marketing work in the sport of auto racing. A lot of short track stuff he's involved in. He and I communicate fairly regularly online. We chat a little bit. I've been up to the Grandview Speedway a few years ago. Kind of treated me like a little bit of royalty up there as I popped in unannounced at a dirt race. Really appreciate that. Made a great memory for me up there as I've always wanted to go to Grandview. Got to get back there for the Freedom 76 one of these years. But Hinterschitz was his favorite driver growing up. And gosh, Saxton has been on this show before. He's been writing, columns and articles about the world of motorsports as long as I have been reading about the world of motorsports. So Tommy Hinterschitz, his family, congratulations to him. Gosh, Rick Mears, Tony Stewart, some of the contemporary guys today. A lot of guys with some USAC history there. Right now, that's a good place to put a pin in it and step away for our first break of the evening. On the other side, I want to catch up with Christian Aliiso, who is a rising star in the Mazda Road to Indy. In his crosshairs is someday a ride in the Indianapolis 500. How's he going to get there? Stay tuned, and we'll find out. You are listening to Speedway Report. I'm Patrick Reynolds. We will be back right after this.
Hi, I'm Vince Gill for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. Real life's not a song. In less than it takes to play my latest hit, someone will be killed or injured in an alcohol-related crash. So next time you're out with someone who's been drinking, don't let them take the wheel. Take the keys instead. Sad stories make great songs, but happy endings make better lives. That's why friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
If you're looking to play some golf in the Myrtle Beach area, just call Dave at the Golf Director, 844-GO-GOLF-1. That's 844-464-6531. Just call Dave. Dave can get you on the course with the best rates on the Grand Strand. Just call Dave. If you're a little shy and you don't like talking on the phone, just chat with Dave. Go to thegolfdirector.com in the lower right-hand corner, click chat. In a few seconds, you're going to be chatting live with Dave. Dave has some of the best golf packages offered anywhere. Just call Dave. 844-GO-GOLF-1. That's 844-464-6531. Tell your friends to tweet at the golf director. Hashtag just call Dave. 844-GO-GOLF-1. Just call Dave at the golf director.
Welcome back to Speedway Report from the shores of Lake Norman in Race City, USA, Mooresville, North Carolina. I'm Patrick Reynolds. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. We welcome to Speedway Report right now, rising hopeful in the Mazda Road to Indy. Christian Aliso is with us. How are you tonight, Christian?
I'm doing fantastic. And yourself?
Fantastic here, too. I think we're battling the heat here in the South the same way as you're doing it in the Midwest. Did it cool off at all from over the weekend?
The Midwest, it's like downtown Egypt or something. I don't know what's going on with the heat here, but yeah, it's been pretty bad the last couple of days, but we're making it.
Well, tough guys, well, you know, that's what race car drivers are all about, is a cut from the old school, make you tough out there with the heat, humidity, and you just kind of suck it up and keep racing. So tell me about Absolutely. It, man. You're out there in Indianapolis. It's kind of where your stomping grounds are. Did you make it out to the Speedway at all over the weekend for the Brickyard 400 and NASCAR's Finest at all?
I am here in Indianapolis, live at Racecraft 1, by the way. Indianapolis is number one motorsports training facility where I do most of my stuff, but No, I was not able to make it out to the Speedway, but I heard it was a hot one, and I missed out because Kyle Busch is my favorite NASCAR driver, and really cool to see him on the television dominating just both races, and making history with that, and you know, watching it on TV, I can't help but think that I'm going to be there someday. How cool is that?
So, I have faith in you as well, so that is cool, and I like your optimism, and everybody that was there once thought that same thing, that they will be there someday. So let's talk about you a little bit. Never mind NASCAR, we'll move them off the plate. Let's talk about Christian. What are you racing right now?
Right, because it's all about me, clearly.
That's right.
Right. No, I appreciate it.
It is all about you.
It is all about me. But no, I'm making the stuff now from Midget through Racecraft 1 into the USF 2000 series, the Mazda Road to Indy. But I've been doing Midgets the last year. Was the advice that I received from an IndyCar driver. I won't name him, but he told me, when I asked him, how do I transition from doing the stock car stuff that I had been doing previously into open wheel, he said, you're going to probably want to spend about a year or so in Midget to get comfortable with open wheel and things like that. So I took his advice. I mean, clearly he knows what he's doing. Yep. He's been there. He's there now. So figured I'd go ahead and follow that.
Let's back it up a little bit more. You're in a Midget cockpit now. That's what you're racing. You just mentioned you were doing some stock car stuff. What's your racing background? Give me a little bit about your racing resume.
Sure. I started out just doing autocross back in high school, running through cones, and just doing that for a bit. And basically from there, I progressed into, well, it's kind of a deeper story, which I do have a book coming out as well. And it will detail the exact story, but I started out doing autocross basically, and started lobbying for a chance at bigger cars. Didn't have a way to get into it because my last name isn't Earnhardt, my last name isn't Andretti. I don't have a father to provide those contacts or to provide the money to do that, which is what makes me I think a little more interesting. So I didn't have that background. I was just struggling on how do I move up, how do I get to the next level, how do I progress. And I put myself into a very uncomfortable situation, which ended up benefiting me in the long run. I went down to a track in California and basically lived on the track. And when I say lived on the track, I mean literally I slept in a car on the track. My personal 95 Thunderbird that I had at the time, in the back seat of that car. And I worked at the track in the hot California sun, day in, day out. to get the opportunity to learn how to drive these things. And I just did chores around the track, basically to pay for the education that I was receiving. Received that education and moved up from there, got some opportunities with some stock car stuff, Hudson Hall out of Virginia, couple of guys like that, just doing the NASCAR Wheel and All American Series type mm-hmm. deal, and then basically just progressing through that, learning to love IndyCar, just watching it and really getting the feel for it, and walking through the paddock and just seeing, whoa, you know, this is where I want to be, and I want to transition. Mm-hmm. So started to put myself in position to do just that.
There's a lot of rich and famous race car drivers now that have similar stories to mm-hmm. what you just described. They're very humble and, you know, slow beginnings in the world of motorsports as they clawed their way up the ladder. Bobby Allison told us one time that he and his brothers would drive to a racetrack and they would actually strap a can of baked beans onto the exhaust of the truck of the race car hauler. When it got to the racetrack, the beans were cooked. They'd open up the can of beans and have three spoons. And go. That was dinner. That was how they used to race back in the day.
Ingenuity at its finest. So
yeah. So you're in good company. Smart.
That's smart, man. You know. But yeah, it was the only way I could think of. You know, when you go online and you just do your little Google searches or whatever and you try to find a racing school, you know, you'll come up with the same price range, that same $5,000 here, that same $10,000 there. Mm-hmm. And I just didn't have that. So what I did was the only thing I knew how to do, which was just try to talk my way in there and work. That's what I know how to do. I know how to work. So that's how I got to where I am.
You're also a veteran, too, are you not?
That is correct. U.S. Army, Green Team. Hooah!
Hooah!
Right. Hooah! That's right. That's right, you know.
Reading about you a little bit more, you know, veteran of the U.S. Army, you're diabetic under control as well, are you not?
That is correct as well. Diabetes was something I was diagnosed with during my second tour of duty in Iraq, during Operation Iraqi Freedom. It's something that I'm dealing with. It's a day-by-day fight, much like any other diabetic, but I'm making it, and I'm using it to my advantage. I feel like it gives me, you know, if a human being was a pot of chili, let's say, right?
Okay.
You know, things like diabetes, things like my story of how I got into racing, that's that little bit of hot sauce that gives it that kick. You know, that's what gives the kick to my story. Is doing that. So, and that's what I'm using it as. You know, I don't see it as a limitation. I don't see it as a limiter. I don't see it as a restriction. I don't see it as a downfall, as a weakness, as a fault. I don't see it as any of these things. You know, it's something that I can use to inspire others who are in the same position as me to do more, and B, hopefully, you know, use it to get some sponsors involved as well, you know, in the industry, in the medical industry, mm-hmm. and to do something really, really cool with them, mm-hmm. something life-changing for other people, as well as history-making for myself and that company. So that's what I'm about when it comes to my diabetes.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that maybe some lessons that you learned in the Army carry over to the work ethic you were just describing in relation to motorsports? Does one, I guess, the work ethic and the effort you put into one transfer to the other?
That's an excellent question. I would say definitely so. I get up super early now, definitely just because of that. You know, Patrick, if you knew me just throughout my scholastic career, you know, high school, college, middle school, any type of school involved, Christian is a sleeper, all right? Christian will lay in that bed as long as he possibly can, you know? And definitely joining the military changed all of that. You know, from day one, you're up at 5, you're doing what you got to do, and luckily that stuck with me now that I'm out. And I'm just getting so much more done the earlier I get up. And I'm definitely not afraid to work, definitely not afraid to sweat, definitely not afraid to bleed, you know? I've been put in situations that I will never be in again, you know, levels of difficulty we're talking about. I will never be in a situation as difficult as Iraq twice. Mm-hmm. for a year and a half the first time, a year the second time, you know. So 2.5 years I spent in Iraq. I will never go through something as hard as that. So when I think about the challenges of moving into IndyCar, to get into the 500, to accomplishing every single goal and every single dream that I want to accomplish, it will never be as hard as that. And that's how I know I can do this. That's exactly how I know I can do this. And that's what the Army taught me.
Mm-hmm. Several years ago, we had Charlie Kimball as a guest on our show, and he described to us, you know, his own diabetes and how he took insulin during the race through a control on the steering wheel. Obviously, right. At your level of racing midgets, much shorter race, you know, you don't have that kind of technology involved in those kind of cars. But does diabetes affect what you're racing at all, as far as what you eat that day, the diet you keep that week? You know, basically, does it have any effect on the driving that you're doing now?
Oh, absolutely. Diabetes is something that somehow finds its way into everything that you do. It integrates itself into your life from the second you're up, the second you go to sleep, racing included. A few things, though, that you do have to do different with your diet. It basically stays the same, but you want to get your sugar up to a level where it'll come back down during the race. So just kind of level out. I did see that episode of IndyCar Chronicles with Charlie Kimball and that little cool gadget he's got on the steering wheel there. Very, it's really unique and very, very, very interesting to see. And yeah, obviously we don't have that, but I do put myself in a position to where I'm healthy throughout the race and I'm able to keep everything under control throughout the race.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about your relationship with Cosby Media. I thought this was a cool part of your bio.
Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you. Absolutely. Bill Cosby and his two nephews, Braxton and Leon, they've got a company called Cosby Media Productions, and they've been producing literature books, inspirational books. And I was contacted through them to do my own autobiography. They thought my story was kind of unique and cool. So they had just did one for Gail Devers, the Olympic runner. I don't know if you guys remember her.
Mm-hmm, sure do.
With the Olympics coming up here, she had the really long fingernails. Gail, really, really, really cool, inspirational woman. She just did the book before mine, My Life and Story Stronger. And they said, you know what? We're going to keep the My Life and Story series going, and we think your story fits in perfectly. So they got with me, and I thought it was a great idea, something I never thought that I would have the opportunity to do in my lifetime. And I just think it's just so awesome to be able to do. It was challenging though, Patrick. I'm not going to lie to you. Writing about your own life from beginning to end and having to relive certain moments that may not have been favorable, certain moments that you have suppressed, you know, things that you've pushed down that you kind of want to forget, and having to bring all those back up as you're writing it and living into it, just to give it that authenticity when the reader is reading it. I want people to feel what I was feeling in those moments, you know. And I want them to know when they get to the end of the book, it's going to be okay, you know? The same way Christian was okay. He went through all this stuff, and he's okay. And the coolest thing about the book, though, is that I left some room at the end of it for part two. And as we all know, you and I, Patrick, we know, part two is when Christian gets to the 500. That'll be in part two of my autobiography, you know, at some point in time, so... So yeah, it'll be out around my birthday, September 23rd, a.k.a. the first day of fall, a.k.a. the greatest day of the year. That's when it'll be out. So hopefully everybody can save the date and go pick that up.
I'm envisioning the third version of the book. The back cover is you holding the Borg Warner trophy and drinking some milk.
yes, absolutely.
I'm an optimist.
I'm going to take your idea, Patrick, and that's what we're going to do for the back cover of that second book. The first one, you got to go traditional. Like, I have to wear like one of those black turtlenecks that every author wears on the back of their book.
Sorry, sorry to hear.
The thin wire glasses. And the black turtleneck, right?
You got so, the pipe and the sheepdog, so yeah. Too, the whole nine yards by the fireplace?
Exactly. But definitely, for book number two, that'll be on the back cover.
Where can we get a copy of the autobiography when it comes out? How do we get one?
It will be available on Amazon.com. It'll be available at Barnes & Noble. We've got a couple of book signings as well you can pick them up at. If you're in the Indianapolis metro area, the Barnes & Noble at IUPUI, Indy Reads Books on Mass Ave, and a couple of other places around here. I'll be going back to New York as well to do some book signings there, the Barnes & Noble on 86th Street in Lexington downtown, and a couple of other places as well. So, but mainly Amazon.com, Kindle, all those outlets, as well as CosmicMedia.com and my personal website as well.
So what is your next step when you race midgets now? Would be the next step, you jump right into a USF 2000 car? Would that be it for you on the as you climb the ladder to Indianapolis?
Yes, sir. That's exactly it's why I'm here right now at the in the hallowed halls of Racecraft One, doing some training with Kelly Jones, renowned instructor, who I'm working with to get me prepared for that, and been just talking recently with a bunch of teams. We got the new USF 17 car debuting next season. So as these new teams start to filter in, we're weighing our options and seeing where we want to go and where we have the best opportunity to succeed. Because I'm going to make sure I'm ready on my end. That's why I'm here. You know, that's why I'm here at Racecraft One now, is to make sure that I'm ready on my end, so that when this newer team gets that USF 17 car, I can jump in there and do what I need to do, give myself the best chance. So that's where we're at now. Just I know the new cars are getting delivered in, I want to say October. I heard somewhere around October, November, all the new cars are getting delivered to the new teams. And there's about 9 new teams, I think Michelle Anderson Kish was saying, from IndyCar. Just building out, you know, those guys and who I can work best with, you know, who I have a chemistry with, and give ourselves a chance to win.
Mm-hmm. Now, are you scheduled for a test with the USF 17 car?
Yes, I am. With one of the newer teams, can't mention right now, but yes, with one of the newer teams that are coming into the series, we're scheduling an oval test, in preparation for the Lucas Oil Raceway in May on 500 weekend. Because obviously that's probably going to be the biggest event that we'll run in the US 17 car, being here in Indianapolis on that weekend. Just to be a part of, you know, 500 weekend in any way is just special. So that's what we're doing.
You have a lot of oval traffic experience, and you're definitely taking an oval route to get to the biggest oval race. Let me ask you, how do you feel about road racing? You interested in dipping your toe into that pool at all, checking it out? How do you feel about turning right and left?
You know, you're not the first person to ask me that. I like going right at times. It's not that I've ever been on a road course. I've had certain successes on road courses. I learned to drive. When I was sleeping in my car on a road course, but it was just something about the ovals. You know, you really get to feel that speed. You really do get to feel it, and that's the allure there. But if I did get the opportunity to make right hand turns, I'll do that, and I'll give it my best shot. So yeah. But I just really admire what Ed Carpenter did, and how, you know, he said to himself, okay, ovals are where I'm really good, and he's going to play to his strength. That's kind of what I want to do as well. Mm-hmm. So, and being that the 500 is an oval, it just makes sense, you know.
Okay.
But if the opportunity comes, for sure, you know.
Brian Clausen has had a lot of success in USAC, and he's had a handful of 500 starts, and I think he's good with that too, running short ovals and not necessarily being a full-time IndyCar driver, but being in the 500 or part of the 500 most years, for several years anyway, that's a big deal to him. So I'm taking it like you're, like so many race car drivers, the next step, like most things in racing, it requires some sponsorship, some backing, some support. Let's reach out. I'll give you the stage right here. Potential marketing partners, how can they contact you if they want to get involved with Christian?
Potential marketing partners, my website is being redesigned as we speak. I saw the preview of it. It's kind of a really cool look, but that'll be ChristianAlisoRacing.com. But if not there, I'm on Facebook. And if they want to get in touch with you, you've got my number. You can go ahead
and
pass that on, and for sure. But I think we're coming into something really, really cool for potential marketing partners, just because we've got the book coming out, which is something that newer sponsors can take advantage of. You know, we've got room on that book cover to do whatever we want with it. You know, so if we want to put their names on that, if we want to put their names on the back, if we want to mention them in the foreword, if we want to mention them in the acknowledgement, we can do that. You know, that's going to have a an expanded audience. But also, Gail Devers and I have been working on a few projects as well. So, you know, she can reach that whole Olympic market. But this is definitely the time to come on board with me. And I think because I have funded most of my own racing myself throughout the years, I truly do understand the value of the dollar and how it works in motorsports, which is something that I can use to help facilitate bigger connection for that specific marketing party. You know, we can grow this thing as big as we want to grow it with the connections that I have. And I'm not just about taking your check, Patrick. That's not what I'm about. You know, I'm not just about, give me your money and I'm going to go running with it. You know, not what I'm about at all. I'm about getting your check and then multiplying that so that you keep spending it with me. You keep making more money. Everybody's a winner. And that's all I want. It's just a symbiotic relationship between myself, these marketing partners. Everybody's happy and we're moving on. You know, so.
I have a list of drivers here that I just want to run past you. These all appeared, these all were guests on Speedway Report as they work their way up the ladder. I'm not saying our show did this for them, but I can't, I won't say it didn't. But here we go. We got Zach Veach, Sage Karam, Pippa Mann, Graham Rahal, Charlie Kimball, R.C. Enerson. All were on our show before they stepped into an Indy car. So I'm not saying I am Batman. I'm not saying I'm not Batman. I'm just saying Batman and I have never been seen at the same place at the same time. So maybe we can add your list to these IndyCar guys down the road in the future and say, we knew Christian when. That would be pretty cool.
Back when. That's right, man. And I'm hoping so. I'm definitely hoping so. And Pippa Mann, actually, you mentioned it. She does a lot of training here at Pit Fit, which is on the other side of Racecraft 1 here, in the same building that we're in. So... yeah, I'm definitely in the right place. I'm definitely in the right place. I'm hoping. I'm definitely hoping, and more so than hoping, I'm working. You know, 90% work, 10% hope, and I think that's the formula to get me there.
Well, hard work beats. There's an expression about working hard. I can't remember what it is, but you know what I'm trying to say. Keep working hard, there, my friend. Just for good measure, we've also had Mario Andretti and Bobby Unser on the show as well. They didn't do too bad in their IndyCar careers as well. I think they've got a future in it as well. So before we go tonight,
they might be onto something.
I definitely want to give a shout-out to Showtime, Rick Knapp, and Bo Wilkes, who both messaged me and told me all about you online on Facebook and said, you got to have Christian on the show. They were right. I'm glad we did. You did some wonderful marketing for Speedway Report tonight. You brought in a big audience, from what I understand. I want to tell all your friends that are listening, we are here every Monday night at 7 p.m. Eastern time, and we hope you like what you hear tonight, so you can join us each Monday for Speedway Report right here on Racers Reunion Radio. Christian, I appreciate the time tonight. Good luck down the road. Thank you very much for your service to our country as well. I salute you. I have a tremendous amount of respect for you. Thank you very much for that. We respect all veterans here, and I hope to see you on track real soon in something big, and we'll keep an eye on you, see how it goes, and next time I'm in Indy, I'll look you up.
Please do, and thanks again, Patrick. I really do appreciate it. Thanks, everybody, for listening in, and definitely don't stop listening just when I'm off the air. Like he said, they're here every Monday. Everybody come back, take another listen to him. Patrick's really good at what he does, and just thank you, and thanks to Rick as well. You know, thanks to Rick and Bo as well.
Yeah.
Awesome guys.
Good guys. I could off the air when I finally catch up with you, I'll tell you some stories, but not now.
Oh, please do. Please do,
yeah,
man.
I got them.
The worse, the better. Yeah. Yeah.
Christian, I appreciate the time. Thanks so much, my friend. You have a great evening.
You got it, bud. Thanks again.
All right. Bye. Christian Aliso, Mazda, Road to Indy hopeful. We may see his name alongside the list of drivers who have passed through here on their way to the Indy 500. Time for another break. When we return, we will cover more of your Speedway Report headlines and open up the phone lines for you. You are listening to Speedway Report. I am Patrick Reynolds, and we will be back right after this.
Rock, fire in the hole. Race day rock. This is how we do it. This is how we rock. This is how we roll.
Dedicated to the live performance of beach music, blues, and funk, Blackwater Rhythm and Blues Band is the perfect choice for your event or music venue anywhere along the Carolina coast or inland. The diverse background of all the band members makes for the perfect mix to please any crowd. Visit the website at www.blackwaterrhythmandbluesband.com or click the banner here on Shag City USA to book them for your next gig.
Welcome back to Speedway Report from the shores of Lake Norman in Race City, USA, Mooresville, North Carolina. I'm Patrick Reynolds. Thank you all for tuning in tonight. Good to catch up with Christian in the last segment. He's up at one of the racing capitals in the United States in Indianapolis, where he makes his home. For you new listeners, we are located near Charlotte, just north of there, pretty much the home of NASCAR. All the professional NASCAR teams rotated within a tight radius of us. All the professional IndyCar teams and open-wheel teams located within a tight radius of Christian, well, as plenty of the NHRA guys and gals are up there with their shops, their teams up in Indianapolis. boy, did they pound out some heat and sucked it up yesterday during the Indianapolis Motor Speedway and Brickyard 400 weekend, pushing triple digits, if not over, all weekend long. Phone lines are now open if you were up at the Brickyard, or heck, if there's anything on your mind. Number right now, 843-272-1900. Lines are open if you want to chat, complain, compliment, talk about Christian, whatever you got to do. We don't have them anymore, so it won't be one-on-one questions, but you got to comment about him or the interview. Please give us a call, or if you got a question or want to tell me a story. I love talking to race fans and whatever they have on their mind. What's on my mind is I'm going to boomerang it right back to Indianapolis again, where Christian was talking from, and the Brickyard 400, Indianapolis Motor Speedway, their entire weekend, Lucas Oil Raceway, the whole thing. Let me back it up to a wider view here. We came in last week for a race week, Wednesday at the Eldora Speedway, where the trucks raced on the dirt surface there. Eldora is not all that far from Indianapolis over the state line, adjoining states. Makes for an easy week if you're a race fan to go to Eldora and then keep going into the Indianapolis area. I really like the idea from that point, and then some short track racing at Lucas Oil Raceway and the racing at the big track. So much has changed since we first began this. Let's back this up several decades to the late model sportsman cars, which christened Indianapolis Raceway Park. I want to say right around 1982, they started going there at a Saturday night summertime 200. You know, I don't remember who won it, but, you know, the glory days of Samard, Jack Ingram, Tommy Houston, they were all up there for that first series race. And a dozen years later, we wound up there with the Brickyard 400. 1992, the Winston Cup cars go to Indianapolis Motor Speedway for a tire test. Starts rumors, starts talk, starts a lot of energy and excitement. 1993, more cars return, another tire test, more rumors, more excitement, and finally an announcement. NASCAR is going to Indianapolis in August of 1994. A Saturday afternoon race, the Brickyard 400. Now, let's round about again to what I was talking about. Would be the short track racing leading up to that event. Brickyard 400 was Saturday afternoon. At the time, let's call it the Busch Series, Busch Grand National Series, whatever the moniker was at the time. That race got moved to Friday night, and the trucks had not been really started as a series yet. So I think maybe they had some sprints or some midges, basically some USAC racing, maybe Wednesday or Thursday nights. That expanded with the truck series moving up there, and eventually I think they had a nice little package with the Brickyard 400 on Sunday, Saturday night at, I'm going to call it IRP because that's how I know it is, even though LOR, Lucas Oil Raceway, we know what we're talking about. That was the now Xfinity series. Friday night was the truck race. Thursday night was Silver Crown race for USAC. And it made a real nice little pattern. And they had a tremendous amount of excitement and sellouts everywhere we went. The big track I remember for the inaugural Brickyard 400, I'm going to question my memory, but I'm going to say the grandstand was wide open, but I don't believe the infield was open to race fans. The grandstand, to my memory, did sell out, so they had well over 200, 300,000 in the stands, but the crowd did not exceed the Indianapolis 500 because the infield was not open to spectators. And what you had as you built through the 90s, here we go again with this common theme of NASCAR through the 90s, of so many good moves, so many good decisions, so many builds, so many, you know, building blocks, and so much excitement. Now, granted, the inaugural Brickyard 400, nothing will match that. And the race, it had exciting parts to it. Overall, no, it wasn't a barn burner of a race, but it was more of an event. It had good racing over the years. It had good racing parts over the years. Yeah, it had some lame parts over the years. But as the cars grew, the series grew, stock cars really just year after year did not put on that very much of an exciting show. They were, however, the big dog in town because of the collapse and implosion of IndyCar as we went through the 90s. Now, we fast forward to what we had over the weekend here. Gosh, no trucks at Lucas Oil Raceway. Boo. They are at Eldora, which is fantastic. I wish we could have both events, Eldora and then somehow bring in Lucas Oil Raceway. Xfinity cars at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway and not at Lucas Oil Raceway Park is an absolute crime. Every time somebody suits down in Daytona Beach at NASCAR, tells you that the on-track product is the most important thing about NASCAR, you tell them to suck it, all right? Because they do suck. They're full of it. They're conning you. That is not how it is. It's all about television money or wherever they can put money into their pockets. You can sell a TV deal at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. You can sell sponsorship for race cars, for race teams. Are these good for the sport? Yes. The Xfinity race at Indianapolis Motor Speedway, you would have a bigger crowd at Lucas Oil Raceway if you brought it back over there because the place sold out. The place was packed. Absolute dead numbers. It's pointless to even race at Indy on Saturday. I don't get that at all. You know, that's all about money. The on-track product that they wave their flag about, that's the most important thing we do. NASCAR has said that over and over again. No, 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 no. And, you know, good grief. No way. Otherwise, you never would have taken out a Lucas Oil Raceway. That's a fantastic, fantastic short track for stock cars or open wheel racing. It's awesome over there. The Brickyard 400, either Indy, Goodyear, or NASCAR owes every ticket holder a refund from the tire debacle back in whatever it was, 06 or 07, where they had to throw a caution every 8 laps or 12 laps for everybody to pit tires. Hey, I bought a ticket, not me literally, but I'm paraphrasing here, that if you bought a ticket to the Brickyard 400, you did not see the Brickyard 400. Seeing 43 cars jump around and race for a dozen laps before you have to throw a mandatory yellow so everybody can pit and change tires is not a race. That's not what you bought. You lost a lot of fans that day. As the 2000s wore on, this chase in all the divisions has become just a monstrosity, and the sport overall continues to tumble downhill. We saw that with attendance yesterday and TV ratings yesterday at Indianapolis. You want to see how good Indy can be? Pull up the running of the Indianapolis 500 from May. Sold out, excitement, a great race, no empty seats. It can be done. IndyCar rebuilds themselves, and until NASCAR gets off their high horse and admits, geez, we made some mistakes, you got a long way to go, and you're going to keep sinking until you fill that big hole that's in your ship and taking on water. Everyone, in between our broadcasts, keep up on the world of auto racing with our website, SpeedwayReport.com. We've got columns there from Vicky Miller, Paul Bloffus, Steve Zunger, and myself. New feature is we have the podcasts from our radio shows are now posted on the site. Tonight's will be up very soon. So please swing by SpeedwayReport.com for some good racing articles. We got some reads and our podcasts. I'll say it yet. Jeff Gilder, thanks for the outstanding production work this evening, my friend.
It's my pleasure, buddy.
You can hear more from Jeff and the Racers Reunion Family tomorrow, Tuesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on Racing Through History, right here on Racers Reunion Radio. Don't forget, Making an Impact kicks off tomorrow night's festivities at 6:30 Eastern Time. Thanks to Christian Aliso for joining us tonight. His podcast will be up soon, and special hello to all his friends, family, supporters that tuned in tonight. We hope to hear from you each and every Monday night. We're here. We take phone calls. We talk to you. We blog. We check out Speedway Report. Thank you for joining us if this was your first time tonight. We hope you enjoyed the show and hope you join us back here every Monday night. Big thank you to RacersReunion.com chat rooms for tuning in, especially Danny and the Legend giving me a hard time. I love you guys anyway. Always a pleasure to see you every Monday. Hit your local track, please. They are the backbone to all of motorsports. And if you tuned in late or you'd like to key at your rebroadcast of Speedway Report or any of the Racers Reunion programs, we've got live content each Monday and Tuesday night. But you can just hit racersreunionradio.com, hit the Listen Now button, and we loop the shows 24/7 for the next week. And like I said, hit up speedwayreport.com for all the podcasts for this one. You want to hear Christian again or download it? It will be at speedwayreport.com very soon. I want to thank all of the military past and present for the freedoms we enjoy as Americans in our daily life, including the simple things like bench racing right here on a Monday night. Freedom is not free, and a veteran paid that bill for us. To all of the men and women who are defending freedom and listening to Racers Reunion Radio, take care of yourselves and come home soon. And a special salute to the teachers, school staff, firefighters, police officers, and paramedics in our own communities. They are quiet and modest heroes every single day. God bless and thank you. You have been listening to Speedway Report from the shores of Lake Norman in Race City, USA, Mooresville, North Carolina, produced and broadcast by the Zeus Radio Network for Racers Reunion Radio. All of our NHRA and drag racing friends that appreciate great music, stay tuned right here. For Bill Pratt, John Buckelman, and Barb Santucci on Racing and Rockin' with Draglist.com. A reminder to like our Facebook page, Speedway Report, and give me a follow on Twitter at Speedway Pat. For Jeff Gilder, I'm Patrick Reynolds. We will be back live in 1 week, and we'll talk about IndyCar in Mid-Ohio, NASCAR Sprint Cup in Pocono, NHRA in Sonoma, and plenty of short track racing. Thank you all for listening. Good night.